Let us pray. God of life, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our minds and hearts lead us to deeper understanding of you and the love you call us to live. Amen. Have you ever been speechless? Have you ever had the experience of just not knowing what to say? And such a moment may be prompted by wonder or awe, by shock or sadness, by disappointment or confusion, by love or joy. There are moments when we are overwhelmed and need time to process what is happening. There are times when life offers us profound moments, and our response has not, cannot have been anticipated or rehearsed. And we don't know how to respond. We don't know what to say. And that is okay. That is very much a part of our human experience. It needs to be part of our human experience. Because if we lose the ability to wonder, to live in mystery, to be moved by tears or anger or joy, to realize the moments when all we have is sighs too deep for words, then we have diminished the fullness of our humanity as creatures made in the image of the divine. Today in our story from Mark, there is a lot happening in terms of deepening the journey for the disciples. And I'm not going to spend much time on the important words following Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" We will hear that reading again in a few weeks as we move off the narrative lectionary for Lent. But what I want to focus on is the experience on the mountain as Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John, and they experience glory. The divine in dazzling images that are hard to explain or describe or to understand. And in the vision, Jesus is seen with Moses and Elijah, and the disciples are left speechless. It's a story of glory. On the mountaintop with clouds and dazzling white visions. The glory of this story may fade in our rational and logical mindset. This story is rich in symbolism, and the presence of Moses and Elijah would have been a powerful sign of the stature of Jesus, because he is seen in the company of these great figures of the Hebrew narrative. We are not a culture that pays a lot of attention to mystery and to glory. We tend to ascribe glory to popular people, to human accomplishments. As we ponder the story of Transfiguration this day, many in our continent, our world, are preparing for this high holy day, which, of course, on the liturgical calendar of the culture is the Super Bowl. The game is in Las Vegas this evening, and the airports near Las Vegas do not have enough parking spots for all the private jets that want to book a spot. The economics of this game, 60 minutes of football, is beyond my scale of thinking. There will be 60 minutes of football, and that's what I'll be watching. But many will be watching for the halftime show and the commercials on TV. And often the game itself is not a very exciting football game, rarely meeting the hype of expectation and it being the championship. If our societal sense of glory is tied to scheduled events, money and popularity, success and fame, then we will generate terrible results of jealousy, of not measuring up, of great discrepancies of value and worth, and ultimately a very shallow sense of who we are as individuals and communities. The trio of disciples on the mountain were left lost in wonder, love, and praise. And they didn't know what to do next. And that is part of the gift and message of this story. One of those disciples is Peter, and we're going to spend some time over the next couple months getting to know Peter better as we explore the stories of his path of following Jesus. And so for Lent, the resource that we're going to be used is entitled A Wandering Heart, Figuring Out Faith with Peter. The Gospels include a lot of stories where Peter is the featured disciple, and his growth in faith and understanding is not a straight line up the mountain. His understanding and courage wanders around as he sorts out who he is and what he's becoming. In the reading today, he has the courage and insight to respond to Jesus' question about who do you say that I am with the declaration, you are the Christ. And we're going to get more into that story in a couple of weeks. And then on the mountain, he is so engulfed by the glory that he suggests they build shelters and stay a while. The narrator says that he didn't know what to say. There was a reluctance to go off the mountain and into the next phase of the story. The story of the Transfiguration has never been a favorite of mine. In fact, I've been known to take study leave on this Sunday. Partly because it's unexplainable. It's on the mystical end of the faith continuum, and I live more on the practical end of the continuum. However, I do see the importance of the story in the narrative of Jesus and in the quest for seeking to interpret meaning of life and discipleship. As a culture, we have been trained to think that living happily ever after is a possibility. We see images of imagining and dreaming of living in luxury and without worry. That's the vision of glory in our consumer God society. There are different visions of mountaintop experiences, and the biblical ones are not all fun and relaxation. The word for awe is also translated as fear. And so the biblical sense of mountains and of glory is always transformative. Encounters with the holy change the character. And so we see why it's tempting for Peter to want to stay on the mountain. But the biggest challenge for Peter, and the challenge for each of us, is to find our way from the mountain back into the plain, back to the ordinary routine and way of living. How do we translate profound experiences of wonder, of glory, of love, of hope into the routines and into the confused priorities of the world? The vision of the holy, the clarity of purpose, the intimacy of love will not always be clear. But we are invited to hold that memory, to hold that hope of the mystical vision and mysterious wonder within our mind and soul, so that we will not forget that we are invited to live deeper into our humanity as we live amidst the ordinary, which can be pretty shallow and unsatisfying. Over the past couple of months, my office has had a transformation, and it's taken me a while to settle back in. So the unpacking of my office find of the week was a CD by Rita McNeil. And it's one of her earliest recordings, and I had forgotten that I had it in CD form. The CD album is entitled Part of the Mystery. And that title song has the profound lyrics in its chorus. Did you ever feel like the wick in the candle? Part of the question and part of the answer. Part of the mystery, far greater than me or you. As this Epiphany season ends, and as we continue to cherish the gift of light and revelation into our world, we also move into the wilderness of Lent with the image that we are like the wick in the candle, partners in creating light and part of the mystery far greater than me or you. This transition of season from Epiphany into Lent within our faith story reminds us that we need the sense of mystery, the moments of being lost in wonder, love, and praise, so that we can live into the confusion and the pain and the reflection of Lent. Peter did not know what to say. And that's a helpful reminder as we live our lives. We are invited into those profound times of sadness, of wonder, of anger at injustice, of joy, with an assurance that our faithfulness is not dependent on words, but a deeper sense of purpose and hope and peace. And when we are able to speak, when we are able to respond, may our words offer gratitude, build community, deepen humanity, address injustice, and nurture hope. Amen.